Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So as the government parties line up to face the electorate in the coming weeks, one key consideration will be their record of delivery on agriculture. In a moment, we'll debate this with Fine Gael Minister of State Martin Hayden and Independent Ireland TD Michael Fitzmaurice. But first, let's listen to heated exchanges in the Dáil last week when Taoiseach Simon Harris faced questions from Independent Ireland's Richard O'Donoghue.
Your government, since you've come into government for decades, you've done nothing but closing down farms around this country. This government, over decades, slowly taking out the people around the country. At one time, Fine Gael were seen as the Farmers' Party, which they are no more, and Fianna Fáil were known as the Workers' Party, which they are no more.
Agriculture isn't some nice-to-do thing and the people in the countryside do. It is the backbone of the Irish economy. It's the part that doesn't leave when times get tough. It's always here and it needs to be treated with respect. And I certainly don't, and I've never heard anybody in government suggest that the biggest polluter is agriculture. And that's not borne out, as you correctly say, by any sort of fact or any sort of evidence.
Right, well, Martin Hayden, as I say, is here with us. You're the Farmers' Party no more. Is that what people are saying to you?
No, that's what people like Independent Ireland will try and say. And, you know, I definitely see the fact that it's been such a challenging time for agriculture in the last couple of years for a variety of different reasons. But when you look at the work we've done as a government over the last 5 years, when you look at the context in which the country was at when we were drawing up the programme for government 4.5 years ago, who knew that we would be faced with our first war on the continent of Europe in a generation, and the very significant impact that would have on agriculture and our input costs. But also at that time, things like emissions from agriculture were seen like a runaway train. We're now facing our third year in a row where we're going to see a reduction in those emissions because a plan has been put in place and government has supported farmers in that journey. And we don't support farmers in that journey just because the planet's on fire. We do it because it's the smart business play for farmers' income to be sustained and the rural communities in which they're based.
You concede then that things are really tough for farmers, but you say it's not your fault.
No, I'm not saying that. If you're talking about what the kind of heading of this debate was about, as has government delivered for farmers, I look at the context of the CAP budget that's there now supporting our farmers. Now, when Britain finally exited after the Brexit vote, the predictions were 15-20% cut in that common agricultural policy support for farmers. We managed to maintain it. We fought very hard to make sure CAP was maintained, and we gave it a very generous state-backed top-up as well so that we can support farmers through this journey and through this period of change.
All right, Michael Fitzmaurice, to bring you in, I was having a look at the Farmers' Journal work on this, and they've looked at what this government has done. Now, it's not a clean bill of health or a full endorsement of the government, far from it, but they do say that the government has started on a path where it is supporting farmers. There's a lot more to do. Do you think the government has failed farmers?
Well, first of all, let's deal with a few facts. At the moment, for any farmer out there, especially a young farmer, the uncertainty is one of the biggest problems out there. New rules, new regulations constantly being brought in. Let's take a perspective, Claire. In 2010, we had 139,000 active farmers. We have 12,000 less this minute. The Martin talks about the CAP budget. The CAP budget has not increased overall. If you look at the budget in Europe, it has actually decreased. If you, Martin talks about the decrease in the climate, and yes, he's right about the 2.3% in the, you know, we understand that, but the facts are, and here are the facts, that if you're rearing cattle or you're in the suckler side of things, your income is down to 9,400. If you're involved in tillage, it's down to about 18,800. If you're down to sheep, it's 12,600. Why is farmers in the line of the sheep industry, 7% have exited? Why have we 192,000 less suckler cows in this country? Why is the carcass weight getting smaller? Why isn't there a retirement scheme? And if Martin wants to talk about climate targets, why under the environmental scheme is there total chaos in the fanfare they had about their acre scheme, where 5% of farmers have never got a penny since 2023. How many people would put up with that? On top of that, if you look at the government, when they talk about their climate targets, and let's look at forestry, the target for Ireland every year is 8,000 hectares. This government over the last 5 years over the 5 years has just got to the 1,000, which is only 1 year's. And if you look at the 5 years before that, it's the dead same. So somebody to say that they've delivered for farmers, when you look at the incomes, have a look at the horticulture sector. We're down to 135 active people involved in horticulture. If you look at the tillage sector, it is down.
Okay.
These are farmers that are not able to sustain the type of living. If I go for some other job, I know that I will have a certain standard of living, or I have a wage packet, I have an agreed price.
Well, we know a lot of farmers have
fluctuating up and down.
We know a lot of farmers have two jobs on the go. They have the farm and they have another job as well.
You must realise, Claire, that if they have that they're working 39 hours in an ordinary job, and then they go out every evening and work maybe another 3 or 4 hours.
And the rest. So, Martin Hayden, can I bring you back on those points that he makes? Incomes are down, and the total number of farmers are down. Now, if it was an attractive occupation, people would be staying in it, and people would be deciding that they're going to take on the farm from their father or their mother and not having to go out and work another job at the same time.
Michael is dead right when he talks about it's all about income. Ultimately, farmers want a fair price for the food they produce. I know this myself from coming from a farmer background and still having the farm at home, and all my neighbours the same in South Kildare. And to say that, obviously, succession and the next generation and farmers taking over is a key consideration and concern for many people as well. And it's very difficult at present in the context of...
Why hasn't this government dealt with that? Hannah Quinn Mulligan is writing about it in The Independent, saying you'd be better off going for a minimum wage job than waiting to get the family farm inherited.
No, so like succession is a big issue because right now the next generation of farm families has more opportunities, probably better educated than ever any of the previous generations went before, and has more employment opportunities all across rural Ireland, as well as in our towns and cities, because we have an economy at full employment and all of the opportunities that are there.
So they'd be better off going out and getting a job.
No, but I'm just saying there's a lot of competition in that space. But farming, and I've held a series of meetings, public meetings, the length and breadth of this country over the last 2 years, I think it's 25 meetings. Succession is something that comes up very highly on the agenda every time, and that's because we are very clearly focused on the next generation coming in and where those opportunities are, and a lot of those opportunities are around it is an absolute focus on income. So you look at those, that's why we put a clear focus in government on those higher value markets to give the best possible return, protecting our position in the UK market, which gives us a very good return for our produce, but using market tools like PGIs, which are protected geographical indicators, which again show our product to be on a different, we're not going to win this battle by being in battling in commodity markets with the likes of New Zealand and with Brazil. We do this by targeting those highest value markets and like the growing market in Southeast Asia and beyond, where those opportunities are, and taking opportunities like, you know, the Azure building a €200 million brewery in Newbridge in County Kildare in my constituency, something I'm very aware of and I have worked very closely on. The direct benefit for that is the malt and barley growers in the Atai area who supply the local supplier, who supply Diageo, are growing, will have more market opportunities now and a better, higher value return for them, just as an example.
Okay, good for them, but it won't solve the problems across the country.
It's one example.
Can I ask you a question, just to come back to focus on whether this government has delivered for farmers. Has the Green Party blocked you or Charlie McConnell Logue from doing anything that you wanted to do over the terms of the coalition?
I think it's fair to say there's a frustration out there in some quarters with the role the Greens have played in government. Of those 25 public meetings I've had, it has come up probably at every given meeting, the role that the Greens have had there. Mm-hmm. But the point I make back is the measures we've taken on the environmental side around our food production system is absolutely the right business play for our farmers, as well as being the right thing to do for our economy. Those higher value
are
markets...
Are you frustrated at the role that the Greens have played in government?
No, because I can see where we've positioned ourselves. Look, we export 90% of the food and drink that we produce in this country. I've seen key customers and clients who buy a lot of the food that our farmers produce being able to prioritise the Irish produce in their market, second to the local indigenously produced markets, and picking Irish above others because we have a national back quality assurance scheme with the verifiable proof points that go with having that. Other countries don't have that, and we can demonstrate clearly to them and give them that really important story to tell.
So if farmers are frustrated at this coalition, you're not saying to them this morning you need to look at the Greens, not us.
What I'm saying is, of course there are challenges in the space of agriculture. We've navigated them. And I do see that income, like Michael said earlier, is at the heart of all of this. That's why we introduced the agri-food regulator for the domestic market, to ensure that we have a better balance where there's transparency, there's trust, get a better balance of the relationship between the primary producer, the processor and the retailer.
Mm. But there are challenges there. But you see what you're saying? You're coming to the end of this government and you're saying incomes aren't at the level they should be at.
Okay, so let's talk.
Succession plans aren't where they should be either, and it's your fault.
No, but let's look at where the opportunities are. I believe we'll be farming in this country at a significant level like we are now in 10 years' time? Absolutely. Will it be different? Of course it will. And look at where the key market opportunities are. Beyond the market opportunities for the price of the produce we get, which is key to farmers, we need to take the income volatility out of what we do. And where are the key opportunities? They're all actually in the renewable space. It's around land use. Like, the next Minister for Agriculture is going to have a very big challenge, because, you know, in the west of Ireland there will be a challenge around keeping people on the farm and keeping them on the land. But in the south and in the east, there's actually going to be the opposite issue, where there's people fighting over the land and getting access to it, because the opportunities that there are in that space around anaerobic digestion around farmers being able to feed
so
into that.
So you say to Michael Fitzmaurice, solar, if you want a farm, you're going to have to move.
No, I'm not saying that at all. Government will produce. Government is supporting farmers, absolutely, in the price they get for their produce, but also in the space of taking the volatility away from out of their incomes. You talk about succession. The next bunch of farmers coming into farming want to be sure of the income they're going to get there. We can take a lot of the volatility that is in the commodity market from the produce we get by having sustainable sources of income in on that farm as well. Farmers will continue to produce top quality food, but there's no reason that a farmer can't make 5,000 to 7,000 euro a year out of solar panels on the roof of that shed to produce that food. There's no reason that we can't have forestry integrated as part of the income stream into farms on certain elements of that farm to again have a steady source of income that will come in. Anaerobic digestion, as we roll that out, and the opportunities in that area, carbon farming, and being able to make sure that farmers are at the heart of that. And there's no reason we can't have energy co-ops where farmers maintain ownership of that space, the same way we have food co-ops in the past.
Michael Fitzmaurice, from what you've heard there, is that where the solution lies, having a steady income for the next generation of farmers?
Well, the most damning statement of all was that the South and Leinster is going to be the places. If you listen to the reference about the west of Ireland, Cromwell said to Hale or to Connacht Martin is saying go south or go east.
I'm talking about the challenges there are, Michael, and you know that.
Yeah, but the facts are that it's Minister Ryan and your party, because you can blame the Greens all you want, but at the end of the day, as you well know, Martin, above and the Dáil, nothing gets through with one person. It takes the government to make a decision, and the votes that there stand for themselves, the likes of the Nature Restoration Law, what has been done. Martin talked about sustainability and how we've a PGI status, and we have, he's dead right. But how come, so if we've done such great work in that this minute, if you kill an animal in Ireland and you kill one in the UK, that there's 400 euro of a difference in that animal for what you'll get for them? And when you want to talk about sustainability in ADs, anaerobic digestion, why isn't the feed-in tariff already being put to that? I know several people that would go it, that would put up ADs, but the feed-in tariff isn't there, and the money isn't being put forward. Forestry won't solve every problem in the west of Ireland, and in fairness, I think the west of Ireland has taken its fair share of it. If you talk about environmental schemes, have a look at the chaos, and there's a major problem in the department, not in Port Laois, may I add. In fairness to them, they're able to get the payments out, but there's a huge, huge problem between forestry acres as well, down in the Wexford place, where all we hear about is IT. Fair play to the likes of Revenue. No matter how the goalpost changes at a budget, they don't need to. They're not telling us, well, our IT system is in trouble. But in the Department of Agriculture, would anyone appreciate that they weren't paid for work they done in 2023? That's the facts of the acre scheme.
Is that true, Martin, that people are waiting for payments from 2023?
Yeah. We have a small cohort of farmers who are impacted by that on the acre scheme. And that is a challenge for us in terms of that new scheme that was rolled out. We had a really high ambition. We had a really high ambition to have a new agri-environmental scheme in this lifetime of this government, which was introduced in the acre scheme. It ring-fenced 1.5 billion euro of carbon tax money to go into agriculture.
Would there not be a scheme if there wasn't carbon tax?
Michael,
because ironically enough, we had a rep scheme that was able, this scheme is able to give, I think it's 4,300, and we're talking about, and all the carbon tax that's been taken in for it. When years ago, in 2007 and 8, and you remember this as well as I do, when the country wasn't awash with money like it is now, we were able to give 10,000 to those same farmers, and we didn't have to have a carbon tax. So how do you go justifying a carbon tax and then giving 6,000 less to each farmer?
Michael, I was a reps farmer myself during those years, and a recipient of that, and I know the difference. But you also know that the system for allocating money under environmental schemes has changed from a whole of farm approach to the cost incurred, income forgone model, which does restrict how much money you can go. And I do believe we should go back to a system which is a whole of government approach, where farmers can get profit, if you like, on those environmental measures. But the Acres programme was hugely oversubscribed. We had set aside €1.5 billion to meet that demand. More farmers applied for it than was anticipated, and we managed to facilitate every one of those 55,000 farmers. Now, it absolutely has its challenges now.
The carbon tax, we've taken it out of a farmer or a contractor's pocket on the right side of their pocket, and we said we'd put it into the left side. That doesn't give you more income.
So, Michael, are you saying brass tacks here that farmers are coming into this election better off than they were ahead of the last general election?
No, I'm not saying that. Absolutely not. Because if you look at the CAP budget, the changes in CAP, and look at some of this is with Europe now, and us, I'm a realist. If you look at the different funding systems, if you look at the incomes that farmers are on, they are actually in a worse state. And whatever about a worse state, Claire, we need to be out there promoting farming, because the question and the debate that has to be had, because media and everyone is great at giving out about the farmers of this country, the debate has to be had. Do we want food produced well in this country, or do we want to see stuff coming into from Brazil and other places that hasn't the same transparency? And if we want that as a nation, we have to put our hand in our pocket as a government and make sure that we look after the farmers that are producing the goods in this country, okay. Not least leaving them with an income that isn't sustainable, and leaving the next generation wondering, will I go back or will I go away from it? And that is the big problem that we are facing. And if we don't bring in a retirement scheme, if you look at the age profile of farmers at the moment, it is getting worse and worse.
Okay.
We know there's a young farmer when they come in will increase productivity by about 30%, and we need to make sure that we encourage those young people in and give them a sustainable standard of living for a while.
Martin Hayden, before we finish, on that question, are farmers better or worse off coming into this election than they were for the last?
I believe they're better off, but that's not to say there aren't huge challenges there still to be faced. Michael talks about the need for a retirement scheme. A retirement scheme on its own won't do it. You know, you have to encourage the next generation every bit as much, if not more. So when there was a retirement scheme previously, there was also installation aid for the new young farmer coming on. So it's a push and a pull factor. It's not just about clearing the pitch of that older farmer, who I believe has a huge amount of corporate knowledge and an awful lot to still offer in that space. The truth is, Claire, there are still a lot of opportunities.
No, it's not about banishing them.
But if the only focus is a retirement scheme, then you're missing the point about where is the incentive for that younger farmer. My point here is there are lots of opportunities. Like, someone listened to this
we
debate.
We need to free up land, Martin, for the young generation. You know that as well.
Oh, absolutely. And we have to enhance the measures there are. We made significant change since Fine Gael has been in power, moving away from the Con-acre system to long-term leasing, which has freed up land for farmers, for young farmers. And we have more that we can do in that space. But my point here is there are a lot of income opportunities that farmers will continue to produce the top quality food they do. But we can, and absolutely, there's as much opportunity for them in the West as there is anywhere else. But I'm being practical about the challenges.
All right, thank you both. We're going to leave it there now. Martin Hayden from Fine Gael and Michael Fitzmaurice, Independent TD. Thank you both. Coming up next, we're going to speak to author Emma Hetherington on her new book.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.